And now to an enigma of neuroscience that has stood for decades. Eli Tanaka has been taking a genetics approach to try to get to the bottom of why this happens.
We're trying to understand why the salamander can regenerate these very complex body parts like the limb and the tail. And remarkably, within the tail, a fully functional spinal cord can be regenerated after you amputate a piece of the tail off. So they have stem cells, as we have stem cells in the nervous system, but the signals that get made after you amputate the tail promote these stem cells to build a new spinal cord. And that's what we're starting to study now.
Why does the same thing not happen in us, though? We've got stem cells too. Why don't I grow a new spinal cord if I injure it?
Many people think that there are differences in the immune system and the immune reaction. The study that we have done in this case indicates that the neural stem cells in a salamander can go back in time and become like a stem cell that you find in a very early developing embryo. And so our hypothesis is that in humans, this kind of what we call dedifferentiation, or the ability of an adult cell to become an embryonic-like cell, again, doesn't happen.
So something stops the cells unspecializing, which is what enables them and endows them with the ability to almost think they're back creating an embryo again and regrow a structure from scratch.
Right.
Now, how do they know, in inverted commas, how big the tail they've got to make is, given that when they were growing in an embryo, they may be an order of magnitude or more smaller than ultimately the adult thing that they turn into?
Well, yes, that's a very interesting question. We're working on that now in the lab. It seems that the cells surrounding the spinal cord might give the instruction as to where along the body you are. Then there's some kind of system for saying how much you have to grow. But in terms of this issue about size, an embryo is tiny and then an adult X level is huge. It seems that when a spinal cord regenerates, you turn on a subset of these embryonic genes, and this allows the existing spinal cord to just extend itself using mechanisms that stimulate stem cells to divide in a specific orientation so that you extend the tube rather than making a big kind of round mass of cells.
Yes, that was going to be my follow-up point, which is also it's got to know, again, which direction it wants to grow in, hasn't it? And only grow in that direction. So how do you think that's achieved?
When you amputate the spinal cord, the tip cells, they start to make feelers that basically feel out into the open space. And we believe that kind of initial orientation is probably very important in orienting a process called planar cell polarity that tells the tube which direction is kind of the back end, so in which direction to grow. So then the cells in the spinal cord then start dividing in that direction. So they orient their division apparatus so that both daughters end up pointing in the direction that the spinal cord should grow.
They inherit a direction of recovery from the original injury, which polarizes the cells, and they know what direction they have to grow in. And at the same time, there are signals coming in laterally, in other words, from the side, from other tissues, which give them a clue as to how far down the body they are. So they roughly know how many divisions to go through in a longitudinal direction to rebuild the tail.
Yes. So that lateral communication between the surrounding tissue and the spinal cord, there's some general experiments that indicate that that's happening, but there's very little known about that process.
But how do you know that the changes that you're seeing in these gene expression profiles are upstream of the developmental and regenerative outcome, and they're not merely a bystander effect, that they are actually orchestrating this process? Have you tried manipulating the levels of those genes and then demonstrating that there is a different regenerative outcome when you do that, which proves they're necessary and sufficient to have that outcome?
Yes, that's one of the important things of this study. We deregulated this pathway called planar cell polarity, which cause the stem cells to divide in the wrong orientations. By doing that, we block the spinal cord from growing out. And when you do that, actually, the cells, they don't expand enough and they start turning into neurons too early.
Ellie Tanaka, she's from the Technische University, Dresden. And that's it for this episode. You've been listening to the eLife podcast, previous editions of which you can find for free on the eLife website. That's at elifesciences.org, or you can subscribe on iTunes. This is a Naked Scientist production. I'm Chris Smith, and you can find out more about what we do on our website at nakedscientist.com. I shall be back next month with another look inside eLife. Until then, though, thank you for listening and goodbye.
The eLife podcast from eLife, the open access journal for outstanding research in the life and biomedical sciences, online at elifesciences.org.